Amen. We have another story in our midst, and we're going to be able to share it in more detail later on. But Laquita Crowder's here. Nikki, as we know, or many of us. Could you stand for just a minute? And I just want to recognize Nikki was on life support over the holidays. And she walked in this morning, and I'm like, this is what God can do. Her mother's here. Mom, go ahead and stand if you'd like. We are so thankful that God has healed and that you are here today, and we look forward to hearing the story. Amen, church? So you can have a seat, and God is just on the move, you guys. And this morning, I'm excited because I believe that you're here for a reason, that our God is a healer, that salvation itself, the root word sozo, means that God is bringing salvation and rescue and healing and wholeness to our world. And I got to tell you, this day for me is special. I learned a couple years ago that on February 23rd, 1984, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. So today, I get to preach on my spiritual birthday with the knowledge and awareness of it. And so I'm really fired up because I believe the message today is something that can help each of us in our walk. You see, we're in this series called Worship in the War. And today I'm going to talk about praying through pain. Praying through pain, because we all experience pain or see pain around us, and yet our God is bigger, and he is able, and he wants to bring us through it. Amen? And so as we get into this today, I want to pray for us, because it's likely going to bring up things in our own life, or maybe things around us that we're going to understand differently. And all of that, I believe God will use because he wants to build our relationship with him, but also our relationship with our brothers and sisters around us. God is doing a great work here at this church, and I am so excited to be a church for all people in a time like this, where when you live this way and you lead this way, you stand out as a bright light, not just in this community, but in a nation that needs to know Jesus is able to bring people together. Amen? So let me pray for us, and when I'm done praying, if you need a Bible, the ushers will come around. Just get your hand up. You can use it. If you don't own it, you can take it. It's a gift from us. And there is a teaching outline inside the current if that helps you follow along. Whew! I'm ready, y'all. Let me pray. Father, we love you. I thank you, Jesus, that you, as we heard these stories, as we see even Nikki and her mother in our midst, God, you are able to not just spiritually heal, but physically and emotionally. And you are a God who brings life and light into the darkness. And so, Father, we thank you that you are here, that you are moving, and that you have something to say to us today through your word. I pray, Lord, that we would leave different, that we would leave transformed, that we would leave with more of you in our life. God, for those that don't know you, may they find you. For those that know you, may they follow you more deeply. And Jesus, may you be heard and glorified today. Hide me that you may get all the glory. I thank you. In Jesus' name, everyone said? Amen. 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 So as we get started with this praying through pain, I have a weird relationship with pain. I grew up, I loved football. I had this saying that I actually used quite a bit, that pain is weakness leaving the body. It's bad theology. Don't write that down. It is not good. And so I have a younger brother that didn't grow as fast as I did. And unfortunately for him, that meant he experienced probably more pain than most people need to experience, because I would get down in a three-point stance, and I would chase him around the house, and I'd say, hey, pain is weakness leaving the body. And he's thinking, you're my brother, what are you doing, right? And so we've experienced some breakthroughs in healing as we've been able to talk for real about the kind of brother I was. But this was just the relationship I had to pain growing up. Was I thought it was weak. I thought it was not something that was meant for me, something to ignore, something to stuff, something to not pay attention to. And it was interesting because as a football player, I looked up to people, right? I looked up to different players. I grew up on the east side of Michigan, on the east side of the state, so I'm a Lions fan. That's about the response I thought I'd get in Chicago territory. I'm a Lions fan, and so Barry Sanders was my guy. The man, the myth, the legend, right? And so I'll never forget, my dad actually took my brother and I to a practice. And we somehow he got us in by the player tunnel. And so we actually were there when Barry came out for practice. And we got to meet Barry. And we're talking to him. And like I said, I grew fast. So I was about as tall as Barry. But Barry was Barry. He was big. He was quick. He was fast. And I was in awe. And I got his autograph that day. And it was on this card. And I cherished that for decades, right? But here's the thing. Even though I met Barry, I couldn't call Barry when I needed help. I couldn't text Barry. I couldn't email Barry. I couldn't get a hold of Barry when I needed help later on as a football player because he's a celebrity. And the truth is, when is the last time in your life a celebrity took a call? When is the last time that you actually had the opportunity to talk to a celebrity? And here's what I want to submit to you today. We need to redefine and understand what prayer is. That prayer is actually a direct line to the God of the universe that has the plan and he loves us. You see, when we turn to Ephesians chapter 6 today, the Apostle Paul is going to tell us that we need to pray. And this isn't to be cliche. This is actually to say prayer is meant to be a lifestyle and a lifeline. It is a direct line to the God of the universe, the Creator Almighty. You can't get a hold of your favorite celebrity, most likely, but you can get a hold of the God who made him and made you. God is available through prayer. And when we begin to embrace this, I believe he can begin to change and transform us in new ways. In Ephesians chapter 6, we pick up. And in this series, Worship in the War, began a couple weeks ago. And in verse 10, Paul says, be strong in the Lord and mighty in his power. He outlines for us that we need to be strong, not in our own strength, but we need to be strong in the Lord and mighty in his power. He goes on to say, listen, you're in a battle. You're in a war. You don't even realize sometimes that some of the drama and some of the division and some of the discouragement and the things that you're facing are coming not just from the physical environment, but the spiritual. That there is an enemy of our souls in Ephesians 6, 10 through 13 that are warring against us, that are coming against us. And so we learned last week, my wife, Cindy, what an amazing job she did with that message last week. Come on, church. And she brought forth this reality that in the war, we need to put on the armor of God. That when we put on the full armor of God, we're able to stand. And that there's a weapon given to us, the sword of the Spirit. That actually, the word of God is meant to be a sword, a weapon that when the darkness is coming in and pressing in, that we're able to respond with truth against the lies. And then we get to verse 18 today. And here's what it says. It says this, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Say all. The word is there throughout. We're just pray at all times. In the Spirit, about all situations with all persistence. When we think of prayer, I don't know what comes to mind for you, but prayer is a lifeline and it's a lifestyle. It is something that is meant to be inherent in who we are as believers. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. years ago said this. He said, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. So let me ask you, are you praying? Are you praying in the Spirit as Paul is talking about here? He says to pray in the Spirit. And for some of us, when we hear that, we're like, well, I tried prayer. It didn't work. I didn't get what I wanted. You see, prayer isn't about going to a genie to get what we wish for. Prayer is something that is meant for all of us. It's something that for some of you, you have a gift of intercession. And God calls you to pray for hours on your knees and praise God. Keep doing that. We need you. The church needs your prayers. But some of us don't have that gift, and that doesn't mean we're not supposed to pray. In fact, he's saying for all of us to pray in the Spirit. Overflow is a church that believes in the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? We do. It in this moment is not talking about the gift of tongues. You see, when you come into a relationship with Jesus, you're given the Holy Spirit. Let that sink in for a minute. When you come into relationship with Jesus, the Spirit of the living God is put inside of you. And he's saying that we need to pray in the Spirit. All of us, at all times, with all persistence. This changes the way we go to work. This changes the way we go to school. This changes the way we approach the situations in our life. Because when we begin to understand what prayer can be, it's a direct line to God. To pray in the Spirit. Paul said this another way in another letter he wrote to a church in Romans chapter 8. He said this. He said, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. You see, prayer doesn't just change our world. It actually changes us first. Because we go to God with, God, here's my plan, here's my will, here's what I'd like to see. And as we begin to listen, the Spirit begins to reveal, no, here's what I'd like to give you. Here's what I'd like you to receive. Here's what I have for you. Here's how you can pray for your brother or your sister or your church or your community. God begins to inform our prayers. We need to demysticize this a little bit. This doesn't mean that we audibly hear God's voice telling us here's what to pray for. It means that you have thoughts. You have a sense of something. You ever just had a couple days where somebody was on your mind the whole time? And you're like, and not in a way like because you wanted them out of your life, but in a way that you're like, I just can't shake this. That's God most likely prompting you to pray for them. And I'm telling you, if we embrace what it means, not in a weird way, but to say, okay, God wants me to pray throughout my day. Did you know that God knows how to do your job better than you do? Just think about that for a minute. He's the God of the universe. He's the creator. You think he doesn't know how to do your job? You think he doesn't know how to help your marriage or help you with your kids or parents or kids help you with your parents? He does. And he's practical and he's available and he wants us to come to him with anything and everything. In fact, are you praying, second question, about some things? Or all things. Because in verse 18, what Paul is outlining here is, listen, in this war you're in, you need to pray about all things and all people. You need to bring everything to God. You need to come to him at all times even. The word that's used there in the original language for time is the word kairos. You see, we have chronos time, which is chronological. Right now there's a clock ticking. 1 second. 2 seconds, 3 seconds, right? There's minutes. That's chronos time, chronological. Kairos time is time that is pregnant with the presence of God. And what he's saying is when you pray at all times, your life becomes pregnant with the presence of God. Men, we don't need to fear the word pregnant, by the way. He's saying your life will be filled, if that makes you feel better, with the presence of God. And this is something that changes our life and changes the lives of those around us. This is what is missing often is a people that is praying over everything. So, you know, let me ask you again, are you praying sometimes for some people with some situations and with some persistence? Or are you actually praying over all things with all prayers and all persistence for all of God's people? God wants to take us to a higher level today. Amen? He does. And the next thing Paul says is with persistence. Persisting in prayer means that, yeah, you may have tried it, but keep going. Yeah, you may have given it a step, but what if God's like, go three more and I got you? What does it look like for us to persist in all things? You see, Paul is writing a letter to a people that are being persecuted, being pressed down, being pressured. There is no doubt in the war pain that happens. If you've ever met somebody that has actually been a soldier and returned, often they come back different. They come back with trauma and stress. They've experienced pain. They have psychological and emotional pain that they have to work through. And while we may not understand physically the pain that they've been through, spiritually, I believe Paul is wanting us to understand, listen, you all are in a battlefield, and you need to pray and persist through the pain. There is something God does when we begin to be open and honest about what we've been through. Open and honest about where we need healing. You see, pain isn't the problem. Let that sink in for a minute. Pain is not the problem. It's revealing the root of the problem. And the root is where we want to invite God in to experience healing and wholeness. So are you persisting in prayer? This month is an amazing month in our country because years ago people realized that actually many of our history books did not tell the story of African Americans' history. That in fact we have a month, and I need to tell you, as a church for all people, I celebrate that in Black History Month we're learning stories that some of us missed growing up because they weren't in our textbooks or taught. But I also believe that not only does Black History Month, but Asian and Latino and Caucasian, all of it matters. But we need to be doing it all year, okay? All of it should be done around, because we are people created in the image of God. And our histories and stories matter. And in the Black experience in America, there is no doubt a significant amount of pain that is often glossed over. And I just believe that God wants to do something in such a time as this. So let me show you a picture of a few of those people that persisted in prayer that we celebrate often in this month and maybe throughout the year if we're paying attention. One is Frederick Douglass. You have Harriet Tubman here. You have George Washington Carver, Ida B. Wells, Rosa Parks, Dr. King. All people that had faith and prayer at some level informed what they did and allowed them to persist as they prayed through the pain. And here's the thing, for some of them, and for some of you, you may see their images but not realize some of the roots and the stories that were underneath this. So let me just show you a couple more images that may be harder to see, but we need to be able to face if God's going to work and heal and renew and build new bridges and new relationships. Here's a picture here of Dr. King in prison. Hard to believe today, but looking back, he and many of his followers were locked in jail for the things that they believed about equality. It's painful to see. It's painful to think about what that was like for him. Here's another photo. This photo is of a time that happened too often in protests, where often youth were at the front of the crowd. And they were often the ones that the dogs or the fire hoses were released on. It's painful to think about some of the history that exists in our country and what people have been through. Here's another one. This one is even more, for some of our eyes, shocking to think about, but just a few decades ago, there was literally a separation of restrooms and spaces and drinking fountains, and that's painful to think about how that affects people and their stories. And maybe the problem isn't the pain. Maybe the problem is underneath the pain that we often don't deal with these things, acknowledge them, and we don't persist through prayer for God to actually do something about it. You'd say, well, that was decades ago. Okay. We moved to the area in 2007 with God's vision for Overflow Church. In 1998, this book was written. The image is on the screen for you. It was written by an author about this community. in Benton Harbor in St. Joe. This story is about 30 years old, but the book was published just 22 years ago. I've ran into person after person in this region that either were in the book or knew people in the book. There is pain in our community that cannot be ignored. I want to go a little bit further, because if you were paying attention to the news this week or social media, there was a lot of pain that has been coming out in our community in just the last week. We've had an officer that is under investigation for potential wrongful use of force with an African-American man here in Benton Harbor. We have a site director at the Boys and Girls Club that has already been terminated. Zero tolerance policy, now under investigation to determine what happened. As that man lost his job for assaulting what was one of the students. Then we had the Time Magazine article that was, if you didn't know, our community was in Time Magazine this week. On the front cover was Dr. King, and within the stories was a long story about Southwest Michigan, about the divides in our community boundaries and economics and how they've affected schools and how schools are funded differently and all of these historical things that at the end of the day have caused people pain. We can't ignore the pain if we want to see God heal and do something new, friends. We've got to be willing to sit in the pain with our brothers and sisters and say, our God is better than this. We will love you. We will walk with you. We will see what he is able to do, because we know God is not afraid of the darkness. He is not afraid of pain. God is light. He is love. And he shows up in all of these spaces. I don't have the answers, but he does. And I believe this is what Paul is getting at, is we need to persist in prayer and redefine how we view pain. Psalm 55 verse 22 says this: give your burdens to the Lord and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and to fall. I want to show you an image of a road. It's called the Yuga Road in Bolivia. It's been considered for a very long time the most dangerous road in the world. There's sections of the road where, as you're driving, on one side is a cliff fall off like you see in the picture, and on the other side is the same thing. It is a narrow road where if you slip and you fall, you could fall either way. I want to submit to you that how we understand pain is often something that is holding us back. You see, Jesus never promised a pain-free existence. He suffered greatly for us. He promised to be with us in it. Pain is not the problem. It's the things around the roots that we need to bring to him, because God is able to heal. So what if we understood this road that we're walking with God to be something that if we ignore pain, if we don't pay attention to it, we might actually slip and fall into one of two potential paths. That on one side are those that ignore the pain and stuff it, and as a result, I believe we have higher levels of depression and anxiety and trauma in people's lives because we've turned our pain inward and we're not getting it out. Are you with me? That's one potential path that we can fall into. The other is on the other side of that, when we actually begin to get into a place of, I'm going to let it out and I'm going to go crazy. And your anger and your rage, some would say we live in an age of outrage. That in fact we get over here, and that's not healthy either. You see, in Psalm 55, the same word used for burden in the Hebrew is the same word used for the word gift. That actually our burden and our pain can become a gift. Because if we stay on God's path with it, he can heal us. He can do a new work. He can do something new in our life and in the lives of those around us. But we've got to be willing to face it. And here's what I know is oftentimes in my life, I don't like to deal with pain. I don't want to sit in it. I don't want to acknowledge it. In fact, I'll be honest, I'm a fixer. And so I've had to learn to sit with people and not be tempted to fix their pain, but to love them and listen to them and learn from them. Are you with me? What would it look like for us to have a new understanding of what that means. And here's the thing, it's biblical. There's actually an entire book of the Bible called Lamentations. The word that I'm getting at here with expressing our pain is the word lament. Let me give you a definition of lament from Dr. Soonchan Ra. He says this, lament is an act of protest. As the lamenter is allowed to express indignation and even outrage about the experience of suffering, the lamenter talks back to God and ultimately petitions him for help in the midst of pain. The one who laments can call out to God for help, and in that outcry, there is hope and even the manifestation of praise. You see, when we pray through our pain, praise is the end result. Because we realize that God is bigger than anything that we face here on earth. He is worthy of our praise. But sometimes we don't get there overnight, do we? In fact, sometimes we have to be willing to sit in that and to work through our pain. And again, some of you, that's going to be the invitation today. It is to sit with some things that have caused you pain and to begin to bring those to God and to see your lament, your loving yourself in that way and receiving his love as something God wants to do. For some of you, it may not be that you have pain that you're ready to process, but you've never thought about your brother's or sister's pain. And you just want to ignore it, and you just want to leave the table because you don't want to have to face it. And God may be calling you to sit down with some folks and say, let me hear your story. It's not my story, but I want to hear yours. I'm not going to run from your pain. I want to believe that God could heal you in this. Church, I believe God wants to do something in this season, bringing real deep levels of unity through us praying through our pain together, through us experiencing God's healing and deliverance from things that we've been facing in the war and in the battle that have been dividing us from him and from his goodness, dividing us from our brothers and sisters and the goodness in them. God wants to bring healing and unity, church. And I'm excited about what that's going to mean. I want to give you three stages that I've walked through in the last few months myself of lament from Psalm 77. You can turn there, and I want you to see these to close today. It gives you some application. The first is to pray through the pain means that we acknowledge the pain today. In Psalm 77, if you were to read in the first 10 verses there, we see one of these psalms of lament. And what the psalmist does in the beginning is begins to acknowledge exactly where they're at in that moment, which is in a place of what appears to be doubt, what appears to be anger, but what it is they're bringing their pain to God. That's an act of faith that God is moving in that moment. Check it out here. It says, I cry out to God. Yes, I shout. Oh, that God would listen to me. When I was in deep trouble, I searched for the Lord. All night long, I prayed with hands lifted towards heaven, but my soul was not comforted. I think of God and I moan, overwhelmed with longing for his help. If you just read that, you might go, well, that person has no faith. I want to back up for a minute and say, actually, that's what lament is. That is faith, because they're bringing their doubts, they're bringing their pain, they're bringing their anger, they're bringing their hurt to God and saying, God, this is how I feel. Some of us just need to get real to experience a breakthrough. Some of us just need to get open and honest and allow God into that space. He's waiting. He's able. He isn't afraid of our pain. There's a bridge-building leader nationally, Latasha Morrison. She says this, God cannot heal what we conceal. That'll tweet, y'all. And it is filled with truth. God cannot heal what we conceal. You see, the first stage may take a minute. It may take a few days or a few weeks of you acknowledging and lamenting where you're at in your pain. I went back in my journal over the last few months to just see when did I start with Psalm 77 and actually lamenting my own pain. And that journey began right around Christmas. And I looked and I'm like, when did I move into stage two? You know, the second stage I'm going to show you in a minute. It was a few weeks later. That means for a few weeks during the holidays this year, while I was celebrating with family and friends in our church, I was also privately working through lament. Don't rush the process. Because I'm telling you today, the fire that I hope you see in me is because God has healed and renewed, and I'm in a different place because of what he's doing. And he's got the same for each of you. So stage two, once you're ready for it, is this: declaring God's faithfulness in the past. Check it out in verse 11 of Psalm 77. It says, "But then I recall all you have done, O Lord, and I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works." So the second stage is, we, after we've acknowledged the pain, is we begin to declare God's faithfulness in the past. And here's the thing. If you're a new believer and you're like, I don't know what God's ever done for me, start with what he's done today and then start reading your Bible, because the Bible is a history of God's faithfulness to his people. And you can begin to say, if you did it for them, you could do it for me. And what happens is we begin to look back and say, that's right, God did show up in my life. God did show up for them. God did it for them, and he can do it for me. And so declaring God's faithfulness in the past begins to build our faith back up. Third stage is what we would see at the end of Psalm 77. Picking up in verse 16, when the Red Sea, it says, saw you, O God, its waters looked and trembled. The sea quaked to its very depths. The clouds poured down rain. The thunder rumbled in the sky. Your arrows of lightning flashed. It says in verse 20, you led your people along that road like a flock of sheep, with Moses and Aaron as their shepherds. What's happening there is it's praising God's goodness in advance. That's the third stage. You see, it's recognizing that God was faithful to them and that God is a good God. You see, it's saying, God, I believe that as you shepherded them, you're going to shepherd me. You're going to lead me with your goodness into better things, into better places. That means that even in our pain, the circumstances might not change right away, but we change. We begin to see it differently. We begin to find God in it. We begin to renew, and pain actually ends up becoming a gift that helps us grow. Church, I'm excited for what God has ahead, because I believe this is a praying church. This is a church that is learning how to pray at all times, how to persist, how to not fear pain but lean into it. And let me just encourage you for a minute that no matter what we're facing, God is good. That no matter what we're going through, he never abandons us. He never forsakes us. He is faithful. He is good. He shows up in our valleys. He grows us through our difficulties. He develops us through obstacles. He helps us to overcome. And when we trust him, things that look like a setback actually become a setup for what God has for us. That God actually, as we pray through it, moves on our behalf. And some of the movement might be in us, of things that you don't realize how your pain is holding you back. And God's like, I want to pray, I want you to go through this, because I'll heal you and renew you and then use you to help others. Come on, church. There's a great, great season, I believe, unfolding and ahead. And there is no doubt that no matter what we've faced or our brothers or sisters are facing, we don't need to fear it. We can come to God by faith and experience his goodness and his healing. And I shared this in the last message a couple weeks ago that I did, that St. Catherine of Siena said, be who God created you to be and you will set the world on fire. We have been praying as a church for renewal and revival. And I believe it's going to happen as we get real, as we pray through our pain, as God begins to heal and renew us, you're going to be set free to be who God created you to be. And there is a world around you that is hurting and needs the hope of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to pray for us. I'm done preaching today because we're going to respond. We are going to respond by praising and worshiping. The band is going to come up and join me. I want to invite you. In fact, right now, you've been sitting too long. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. And if you're online right now, stand up. This is the service that we're streaming. And if you're online watching, we're so glad that you're with us today. God can move in a moment when we're open. And I want to just encourage you. We have a chance. The altar's going to be open. Our prayer team's available. This is a spot where your moment right now may be saying, God, I need to acknowledge my pain. And we want to be there for you. And you sit in that. You allow God to work. For others of you, it may be that your eyes are open to other people's pain. And you need to pray for them. And you need to praise God and declare his goodness. But this is a time where none of us should stay right where we're at. We should allow God to move and to lead us forward because he has more. Jesus, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for this opportunity now to praise and to worship and to even come to the altar with what's really going on inside of us. Father, there are deep, deep issues of divides in our country and in our community. There are things in this war, this spiritual war, that harm and hurt us. And yet, God, we know that you are a deliverer. You are a rescuer. You are one who brings wholeness and healing and freedom. And so, Jesus, we look to you right now. And we invite you to touch each and every life with your love. I'm asking, Holy Spirit, that you would not leave us the same. That you would touch us in our pain, that you would bring healing, that you would birth new praise and new worship out of a people who are declaring your goodness. We want to worship in the war today. We want to pray through our pain. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship him. The altar is open.